you know the vibes.
Oh, I lost my voice there. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Moon, alongside, as always, three-time NBA champion BJ Armstrong. But today, we don't care about that. Today, we've got the birthday boy himself, the one, the only GM extraordinaire. Scott Perry in the building. His birthday's here to record a show. When it was my birthday a few weeks ago, I was not sitting on a Zoom call talking about basketball. I ain't gonna tell you how I was celebrating.
Thanks, because I called him on that day.
He's like, yeah.
So the ultimate professional, always locked in, Mr. Scott Perry. Happy birthday. And I speak on behalf of the listeners as well. We're wishing you another year of success, of happiness and joy, and all the good vibes in the world.
I appreciate this so much from you guys, man. And what better way to celebrate turning 61 today?
Wow.
Than with my guys here. I'm 61 years young. You know, exactly. I'm just giving you the night. That was when I was born 61 years ago, but I feel 41.
No. Okay.
So 61 is the new 41. Is that how it goes, Mo? Yeah. You know?
61 is the new 31. How about that?
Exactly.
How about that? There's only been three players in the history of the NBA or ABA to wear the jersey number 61. Can you name any of those three?
Oh wow, Mo, you're getting with
this may be the toughest question I've ever asked on this podcast, because
the number 61,
I've not heard of any of these three guys.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know.
Yeah, I you got the stump. You can just go ahead and read them off for us, Mo.
Bevo Nordman of the Cincinnati Royals in 1962. Okay. Dave Piontek in 63, also for the Cincinnati Royals.
That was the year I was born, 63. Yep. So.
And then Pat Spencer, last year and this year for the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, he's on a two-way with the G League affiliate. But that might be one of the rarer numbers in the history of the NBA. Scott, what are you doing to celebrate your birthday?
Going out to dinner with my girls tonight. My daughter and my wife. And my daughter's birthday is a few days after mine. So her birthday is on Thanksgiving this year. So we're celebrating it together this week. And worked out this morning. You know, another day, Mo. I'm going to do what I do all the time, consistent. Just because it's my birthday, that means I stopped doing what I normally do. So I work out. And maybe if time permits later this afternoon, I might hit a golf ball or two. It gets dark a little earlier now, so we'll see. We'll see.
I hear it. It's it's a blessing. One of my favorite things about Scott is every Monday he posts a motivational quote for the people on his Twitter. If you attempt to orchestrate and plan every aspect of your life, you can be sure that those plans will be disrupted. Expect there to be unknown challenges and a need to change and adapt as they arrive. Everyone and everything that enters your life, provide them with an opportunity to learn and grow for them. All things will work together for your good as you lean into your faith throughout your journey. That's wisdom right there. I read that this morning. I said, okay, let's go. Let's go. Yeah. But Scott's celebrating today. Do you know who's not celebrating today?
Okay, who's that?
The Philadelphia 76ers.
Mo knows how to go right in. Boy, that's a heck of a transition, Mo.
well, me and BJ spent about three episodes last week speaking about the Sixers. And Scott, I wanted to get your perspective on Philly as they lost again last night to the Clippers.
Yep.
They're now 3-13. Lucky for them, the Wizards are 2-13, so they don't have the worst record. But their odds of making the playoffs now sit statistically, I don't know what the gambling people say, but mathematically, they have a 4% chance of making it to the NBA playoffs. Wow. I believe their pick this year is top six protected and owned by the OKC Thunder, unless I'm mistaken.
Okay.
But I just wanted to get your perspective, Scott, on the situation in Philadelphia and everything that's going on over there.
Well, I can't sugarcoat. It's not good.
I don't think Willy Wonka himself can sugarcoat this.
Let me state the obvious. It is not good. You know, when I was a front office executive, when you got below 10 games, 10 games below 500, that is a serious danger zone, because to your point, statistically, it's very rare that a team can rebound from that big of a deficit and become a playoff team. Has it happened? Yes, I remember years ago the Miami Heat started off. I can't remember the exact year, Mo. You can look it up for me, but it may have been close to a decade ago. But they started off very poorly, and then they made a mad rush the second half of the season, played some tremendous basketball to eventually make it. But what I see with this, obviously injuries have played a big part of the 76ers. Now so much is going on now in the media, what's being said, player meetings. You just know that right now they appear to be a group that has a lot of dysfunction going on. And it is incumbent upon the coach and management there to try to figure it out. The other hard truth to the situation is there's not much you can do with the roster now to help you get better. You're stuck with what you had. They made this decision this offseason to extend Joel Embiid when they did that last year, and then go out and get Paul George. And they're two of the most injured stars that we have in the league over the past 5 years. So that they were betting on that. That has gotten off to a horrific start with both of those guys rarely, if at all, being available. And then, unfortunately, Tyrese Maxey, who's been healthy and a great rising young star, he missed a couple of weeks. So the other additions were all solid role players, but those solid role players, for them to excel, need those stars in the lineup on a consistent basis. So now, how do they gain any consistency? Because everybody's in and out of the lineup. This is the kind of stuff that needed to be taken care of early in the season. You'd like to see them develop their on-court chemistry by playing a lot of games together. Well, the first 16 games, how many times have they played? Once, twice together, all of them, the star court. So does not look good, but you can't throw in the towel. To me, if I'm sitting there, the message has to be in that building, okay, we're going to be one of these teams that beats the odds, and we're going to figure this out, and we got to come together because we're not going to embarrass ourselves, embarrass this organization, and not become a playoff team. But a lot of work ahead, a lot of work ahead.
Yeah, it's all going off in Philly as usual, with the leak story that they had with Maxey calling out Embiid, and then you have Paul George doing his podcast during the season where he's addressing these things, and a few people aren't too happy about him doing that. BJ, in your perspective as an agent for players, would you recommend doing a podcast during an NBA season whilst you're still an active player? Or would you rather your players stay focused on the task at hand?
I'm going to be open to the idea that it is possible. And here's why. Because you have a lot of free time as a player. Okay. You can only practice so much. These guys, they're always posting videos of themselves working out. The work never stops. We're talking about players that aren't playing. So if they're not playing in the game, then what's going on? So I don't have a problem with the podcasting. However, there's a level of professionalism that is necessary to conduct that. And I think it was Pat Riley who said, you have the right to say what you want to say as long as you're playing, as long as you're performing. I don't think podcasting interferes with anything, right? You're doing a 30, 45-minute show. Clearly, Mo, all of us here have a respect because you have, what the audience will see. But there is a lot of work behind it. The production of the show, topics, the organization of the show. But I don't have a problem with.
He has a great team behind the scenes. I know some of the guys who work on his show.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have a problem
him with that.
But however, in the professionalism in which we all value, the main thing has to be the main thing. Okay? Mm-hmm. The main thing here for any player is to make sure that you are available to play. So I don't see this. Injuries occur. Injuries happen. However, That should not be a problem with today's athlete. All of the training, all of the things that they have, you know, that's accessible to them. I don't see that being a problem at all.
But then discussing things that like the leak story and stuff on a podcast, how do you feel about that though? Because there's one thing doing the podcast, and then there's another
Right.
thing discussing the team's internal affairs, especially in a time of what would be discussed as a crisis.
Well, when it comes to that, you know, listen, I'm from a different era. You know, I'm from a different world in when this regards. What happens in that locker room stays in that locker room. Listen, I haven't been in a locker room in over 30 years or something like that. And, you know, but what happened in that locker room stayed there. I've moved on. It's just, that's what it is. Now, is it disappointing when things get out of the locker room because it really violates the first principle of any relationship, which is trust. Whatever happens in a locker room happens. And I said it last week and I'll say it again and then throw it to Scott. When you have no trust in the locker room, you might as well just throw your season out. Okay? I've never been on a team, a championship team, a team that wasn't a championship level team, a playoff team where you did not have problems, plural. Okay? The best team in the league has the same problems as the worst team in the league. The difference is winning covers up the multitude of sins. That's it. So whatever happened, happened. But do you have the skill set to deal with the problem? And if you don't have people like Scott as the executives who are That's Scott is a subject matter expert when it comes to dealing with problems because he understands when you have 15 people, 20 coaches and executives, referees, other executives, there are going to be problems. And if you are not equipped to deal with those problems, this is what happens. So we talk about culture. I'm going to throw it to Scott. We talk about all these things. And privately, many of us who are in the business, and when we start hearing things, oh, what's the first thing we hear when people get hired? Culture. And we're developing this and all of that. And then when a little problem happens, everyone runs. And somehow it gets leaked in the media. Well, here's another example of what we know. If you do not have superior leadership in today's game, you have no chance. Superior leadership, not good leadership, superior leadership on the court and off. And today, and this is an example of what happens where everyone has gone off the rails now. And we're all sitting here wondering, and I'm not in their locker room, but Scott has ran a team for what, 25, 30 years, Scott? You've been in the NBA
25,
somewhere around that?
25.
I've been in that locker room and old school, new school, this is the same school.
Right.
It's the same
No
school.
questions.
So, Scott, it's all yours.
Mo, BJ, one of the things I developed over time working in the front office was a saying that I wanted to resonate throughout the building. So I don't care if you were a coach, front office person, player, support staff. But what I encouraged was diversity of thought, but with unity of purpose. And then to me lies what would in this whole situation here. You can have diversity of thought and opinion, but we've got to be guided by one unified vision, unified purpose. And that's to win and be successful. And I don't care what era you're in. And BJ touched on this, you know, when he was in the locker room 30 years ago. There's some things, even though a lot has changed in society, you know, we're talking about a podcast here, where, you know, podcasting wasn't available when BJ was playing. But there were still other avenues for guys to get out and talk, whisper to the beat reporters who were much closer to teams at that time. Or still talking to family for things to get out and breach the trust that was in the locker room. Now you just have to be, again, hypersensitive to the same thing. The locker room And that basketball court and that training facility is the sanctuary for those players. That's got to be a safe space. They've got to be able to talk, say things, do things that they know are going to just stay in the confines of those walls and with, in particular, those 15 players. So you, the alarm bells go off when this information goes beyond that. And that's where the Sixers are. And this requires leadership to the highest degree now from everybody. Again, I know this was a players, supposedly a players only meeting or whatever the case may be. But as a leader, as the president, GM of the organization, you got to weigh in. You got to help rectify this. You can't just sit back and just let everything continue to go off the rails. Leadership must take take presence here right now. And you got to step up, not be afraid. You can't be afraid to say, have some tough conversations with a number of people in the building to get this right. And if somebody's not willing to stay on board, on message, and kind of, you know, go towards that same goal that we all want, then maybe you got to find a new place for them. But I hate to see this, what's going on. But again, the breach of trust is there, and that's problematic. How do you regain that? They got to be working hard every day to get that back. Because right now it is broken, and if it's not fixed, the season will continue to go off the rails and be very problematic for a number of people there.
Well, on the other hand, from the Sixers, a team who is celebrating recently is the Milwaukee Bucks, who have won four straight. They're now just one game below 500 after their dreadful start to the season at 8-9, sitting at sixth. And a nice discovery has been Giannis Antetokounmpo becoming one of the best mid-range scorers in the NBA this season. He's currently shooting a career-high 47.8% from the mid-range to start the season on over four attempts per game. The only other players attempting at least four mid-range shots a game are the usual suspects, DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Durant, Brandon Ingram, and Joel Embiid, when he eventually does ever play. But Giannis is really starting to knock these down. So far, he's 33 of 69 from that mid-range area. And he's shooting about four a game. And it's really good because you see him hitting those. And then once he's hit one or two of them, the defense is kind of stepping up even further on him. And he's using that to explode to the basket and finish in a way that only Giannis can. But what else have you guys seen from the Bucks on this recent winning streak that's getting their season back on track?
Well, to me, Giannis is doing what you expect a great player to do. Every year and every offseason, a great player goes into to that offseason trying to figure out what can they come back and be better at. Obviously, he is taking the time to hone his mid-range skills and be able to be that much more of an effective scorer for those times he can't get all the way to the basket. You don't have to be a great three-point shooter today to still be a great player, as Giannis has proven, and Jimmy Butler's. There's a lot of guys who aren't great three-point shooters, but are great everywhere else on the court because they're just so big, strong, and athletic, you can't stop them from getting into those spots. So it's a pleasure to see that. I think it's a testament to his leadership. Doc Rivers has continued to stay the course. Obviously, he didn't panic when they got off to such a bad start because there was a lot of noise around this Bucks team about blowing it up and who should be traded and all those things. They've been through this. They've stayed the course. It's been good to see. Brooke Lopez continues to me to play very solid basketball as he gets older at 36 years old. He's doing well. They still don't have Chris Middleton back. Mm-hmm. So this is impressive. They're doing this without him. Dame Lillard is, you know, rolling up his sleeves and saying, okay, there's nowhere else to go. It's got to happen here in this locker room. So I always enjoy seeing teams and players in particular accept the responsibility. We don't need to trade for anybody. The answers are in our locker room. How do we figure it out to get better? And that's what I'm seeing from this Bucks team. And they're getting some contributions from some of the young guys off the bench. It's the kid Green who can shoot the basketball from the perimeter, has done a nice job for them. So, you know, hopefully for Bucks fans and Bucks Nation, they'll continue along this path to becoming a more consistent winner and put themselves in the position in the Eastern Conference that most of us expected them to be, and that's in the top three of the conference.
Well, I think the best thing about Giannis's mid-range is where the attempts are coming from in the mid-range, because now you see most of these jump shots coming from kind of the elbows and the free throw line, which is essentially where he wants to start his drives from. Whereas in previous seasons, he was shooting a lot of mid-range jumpers kind of off post-ups, so to the side of the basket, whereas now it's all around that elbow pitch post area where he can then, if they step out to him, drive the basketball. But BJ, we spoke about this last week in the overkill of three-pointers going around the league, so... How happy are you to see this Giannis bringing the mid-range back a little bit?
Well, you know, off record, right? You know, I know what guys are saying in the podcasting world. And Mo, you're not old enough to remember this. Remember, Scott, when players would host their TV shows like on Sunday night in their local markets?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, well, the players would host the show.
Yeah, you would host a show with the local... Mm-hmm. News,
local sports,
yeah, the local sports broadcast on your local news. So every week, mm-hmm. and when Scott was mentioning, you know, podcasting wasn't available, we just didn't call it podcasting. We actually were doing it, but it
right,
was just,
exactly, yeah, right.
It was
yeah.
on
true.
TV.
True, yes.
And I remember during that time where, you know, you would do this and you would expose yourself to when things came up. And there's a little thing that came up in Chicago. You know, when the Jordan Rules, when that book came out. And I remember doing the production meeting before the television cast of, you know, we have to ask the question and you answer the question with the responsibility. And not only was I in the locker room, we had someone who was reporting and had quotes in our locker room. So, you know, and I thought when Mo said that, it was like, oh, wow, you know, he said something on the podcast. Well, imagine being on live television with a book. They're reading quotes from the book, da-da-da-da-da-da, and somehow we still navigated that and we moved on. Right. So if you are not skilled enough to handle problems, you know, things are going to happen. But I was responsible during that time then. Now there's documentaries and things. We're still talking about that incident, what, 25 something 30 years later. You have to understand where your responsibility lies. Okay, in saying all that, Mo, your question was talking about, was it Joel Embiid? Is that what you're talking about?
Giannis shooting mid-range shots.
Oh, yes, yes,
you're talking about the other topic from about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I had to get to that. It was on my mind.
I know it's early.
About Giannis. Yeah, it's talking about Giannis. You know, all the great players know they got to find open areas, right? When you give your best player the ball, the one thing that every coach, every team, every executive is trying to figure out, where's the one area on the floor where your best player can be your best player? That means you got to have the space on the floor where there's only one place open right now for the best player to be the best player. If you're going to run a out of timeout play or a need play or whatever, that's in the mid range. That's where all the great players play. So we can keep advocating 3-point shooting. We can keep advocating whatever, pace and space. You better have a play in the last 4 minutes of the game or someplace during the game where your best player can operate and get a basket. Or create a basket or at least a good shot opportunity, which means more times than not an uncontested shot. That place is called the mid-range. So give Doc Rivers credit. We've seen what he did with Paul Pierce for years when they won a championship. We've seen what he has done with great players. And now Giannis is beginning to settle in. Now, the thing I want to give Giannis credit is for his leadership is he's continuing to figure out how this version or this team is going to play. Because it's been a process now for, it seems like over a year now, because this started last year. Yeah, it just seems like they still haven't found out how to really play. And we both know Dame Lillard is a terrific talent. We know Giannis is a MVP and all those things, but there's no chemistry yet. There's no rhythm yet. There's no flow to their game. So it's been an extended process, but I want to give them credit for continuing to play through the difficult route that this has taken. I mean, it's been a difficult journey. We all thought it was going to be a smoothless transition when it first happened, and it hasn't turned out that way. But to this team's credit, there's a word that comes up. They've been very persistent, okay? And they found a way to weather this storm because it hasn't been smooth.
Right.
It hasn't been smooth. And then in the end, if you continue to show up and play, and let this be another example, and you play hard, you're going to win your fair share of games, because right now we were questioning a lot of things about the Bucks. Just like we are questioning right now what we see from the Sixers. The difference is Giannis has showed up. That's the difference. Yes. Mm-hmm. And talent is, in the end, going to be – that's going to be answer one, two, and three. If your talent doesn't show up, you're not going to win. But if your talent shows up, you're going to have a chance.
And to add to that, they had a coaching change that they went through too. When you're talking about
them
coming together and figuring it out, you know, there's been a lot of turmoil, and they won a lot of games under Adrian Griffin.
Yes,
they had a higher winning percentage in regular season games under Adrian Griffin thus far. But maybe this is the time now, that this 4-game winning streak, that the Doc Rivers era will officially take hold, and that you'll see them turn the corner, and that all of Doc's messaging and how he wants to play, and they figure that all out from this point forward. So it'd be interesting to see.
What's interesting I find about it, because BJ touched on chemistry there, and he's saying there's still not chemistry between Dame and Giannis. It's been over a year that they've been teammates now. And when the trade happened, everyone spoke about the Dame and Giannis pick and roll is going to be unstoppable, because in theory, it should be unstoppable. But in reality, if we're looking at the best pick and roll partnerships so far this season, the Dame and Giannis pick and roll is nowhere to be seen amongst the highest scoring in terms of points per possession. Do you guys know, or can you guys guess, some of the highest scoring pick and roll partnerships in the NBA right now?
Go, read them off to us, Mo.
Well, the best one right now is Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, who are averaging 1.25 points per pick and roll, followed by Fox and Sabonis, then Anthony Edwards and Gobert, then LeBron and AD, then surprisingly, Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic are up there. And here's the real shocker, Davion Mitchell and Jakob Poeltl for the Toronto Raptors, then Chris Paul and Wembanyama, then Damian Lillard finally features on the list, but it's with Brook Lopez at 1.07 points per pick. And then Jarrett Allen and Darius Garland, then Tyrese Haliburton, Miles Turner, and James Harden and Ivica Zubac. So that pick and roll between Dame and Giannis isn't seen, because these are amongst teammates who have had a minimum of 75 pick and rolls between the two of them. Why do we not see Dame Giannis pick and roll as a feature more in that Bucks offense?
Let me just say this. When the trade was made and Dame Lillard came to Milwaukee, as you really study and analyze it, Dame Lillard had been the man. Everything began and started with him in Portland for what, 8, 9 years? 9, 10 years, however long he was in Portland. So everything centered around him. And now he joins a team where everything has been centered around Giannis for the last 7, 8 years. So it's a different dynamic for both, and a different adjustment. When you're talking about screen roll, that guy who's coming up and setting the screen, you know, a lot of times, you know, he sacrifices himself. You know, people that understand the game understand, if I set a great screen, that enhances my opportunity to be open and get the basketball. But that doesn't always play out in theory, obviously, as BJ knows. See, exactly. So as I look at that, at the two of them just having to navigate that. Look, I've always taken a shot in this situation. You've always taken a shot in the situation. And just trying to get through that. To me, that's probably what's at play more than anything there. Just so you know, it that takes some time, in my opinion, and maybe it's starting to get a little better during this win streak. I haven't seen him in the last couple of games, but that's what the two of them got to get to that point where they're trusting in one another, and it doesn't matter who makes the game winner or makes the go-ahead shot and that kind of thing. So that's where you got to get to, because some of the other ones, you know, obviously you could say LeBron had always been the guy like that wherever he's been, and same with Anthony Davis, but LeBron's at a different stage of his career too. You know, he's close to 40 years old now. And you've got, you know, Anthony Davis, who's, you know, his personality, you know, they're pushing him to be the best player every night now. And he's, you know, embracing that part. So I think that works. And LeBron's more of a, you know, natural facilitator and passer of the ball too than maybe a Dame Lillard or Giannis have been. So as you start breaking those twosomes down, it's just different dynamics, different personalities in each of them, and that's what I see.
BJ, have you got a take on it?
Well, as a guard, I give you a guard perspective. You know, when you're playing that guard position, right, and you're being a true lead guard. When I say lead guard, right, you're going to actually engage a second defender. Okay, that's the first thing. When I'm playing that position, and Scott alluded, that's why we both laughed, him and I. The last guy I really want to set in the screen for me is the guy who's averaging close to 30 points a night, because I have a responsibility to make sure I pass him that ball. Okay. And for better or for worse, I played with a guy who was that guy. And every time I came off, whether I was open or not, I had to make sure that I did my job, because that's what I got paid to do. Okay. That's a new role for Damian Lillard. Now, Dame can't say that, but I can say that, because I knew when I was open, I still had to get him the ball. And this is the problem when you play with a dominant player like Giannis. Giannis isn't setting the screen for you to get open. He's setting the screen to get the ball. Okay. So I don't have a theory. I'm just sharing this with our audience. That's why Scott and I was laughing. The guy I really wanted to set the screen for me was a guy who was going to screen and get out of my way, because I was going to do my job, come off that pick hard to engage the second defender. And then there was either a cross match, the guy who was trying to fight to get around the pick on me, or better yet, something they got, you know, the miscommunication. Yeah, so I was always open. I had to shoot.
BJ would yell too late. He would yell too late to the defense. Wow. So that engaging of the second defender never really happened.
Because Scott and I were natural scorers. We didn't learn this. We were natural, Mo. We were natural scorers. Mm-hmm. We all know if you really want the ball, the first thing you would do in the flow of the offense, you would always become a great screener. So the most selfish guy on any team understands when I make a great screen, I'm probably going to be open. Which forced me, who understood that rule, when my players who averaged 30 points, and he was a phenomenal screener. This guy I played with, Mo, he was the greatest screener of all time. I was forced to get this guy the ball every single time. And he would always say, now, you know the rules of the game. And we would laugh. Well, I would laugh. He would laugh. Because it would always get him open.
Mm-hmm.
But I understood the rules of the game. So in saying that, I don't think that's surprising to me, because Giannis is a physical player. Giannis understands screening. And now he's learning how to screen and get to the open area, which is a problem for any guard who wants to score playing with him. That's a problem because Giannis is doing his job at an elite level. Now, the guy I would want to screen for me would be Lopez because, you know, he's
Yes.
gonna pick and pop. So if you screen and roll, I can't get to the basket. Okay, but this is a little trick that we're just gonna remain here. So that's natural. You know, you want to play with a big like Sabonis, for instance, because he picks and pops sometimes. Sometimes he picks and roll. And then if he rolls and they switch, hey, De'Aaron's got to shoot. What do you want from me? If he picks and he pops and he turns the corner and they switch, well, De'Aaron's got to drive to the basket. I mean, it only makes sense. Okay. That's what I want to play with. I want to play with that. You know what I mean? I want to play with the guy who gives me options. Like, I'll give him options. And if for some reason you got a better advantage, then we'll play what's called a two-man game. Scott and I used to do that a lot. No one figured
Listen.
it out. But that's not surprising. But what I do like is they have figured out the balance that's necessary for this group and this team to win games. And these last four games, they've struck a nice balance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you know who has struck a nice balance, BJ? You have finally struck a nice balance because last week when Scott was here, we predicted the NBA Cup games. And for once, your
No.
predictions were pretty good.
Oh, because I made an adjustment. I made an
No,
adjustment.
because
You
you picked
went
the same
first.
teams as
No.
me.
No. You went first.
Either way,
Yeah.
we were
When
both.
Mo,
We were
so Scott,
both.
Mo goes last, so that way he can figure out how to manipulate the race.
Yeah,
So
this is
now
a
Mo edges him.
conspiracy. This
No,
is a
it's not a
conspiracy because it
conspiracy.
makes no difference who goes first or last because the
Yeah,
team
it
I'm going to
does.
pick is going to be the team I pick regardless of what you said.
Yes, it does. Because I'm going opposite of whatever you say. So which
Well,
forces, it forces, you know, it forces the pendulum to swing. So go ahead, Mo, you go first.
last week when we had the NBA Cup games, we were correct on all of them, with the exception of Scott, who picked the Cavs to beat the Celtics and the Celtics beat the Cavs. Aside from that, we were all aligned. But let's
But
look at
you said I had the Cavs beating the Celtics. I
you
thought
had
I
the
had the
Cavs.
Celtics winning that one.
Did you have the
I
Celtics winning that
did.
one?
I did. Yes, I thought
Oh,
that
does
was
my
going to be
sheet
their
say
first
Cavs?
loss. Yeah,
Oh,
see,
well, in that
look, you
case,
said.
we were all correct on everything.
Yeah,
So let's
okay,
try and
yeah,
repeat that
but
for tomorrow night's games,
this
starting
is
with
this
the
are the are they
Bulls.
cup games? Are
Yeah,
they
the
cup
cup
games?
games. The cup games.
Okay.
The
Oh,
Bulls and the
tomorrow's night.
Wizards. Yeah,
Oh, okay,
not
tomorrow's
tonight's
night.
games. We're
Tuesday.
doing tomorrow
Tuesday.
night's.
Okay.
The Bulls and the Wizards. The Wizards are 2-13. I'm picking the Bulls.
Ooh. It's at the Wizards too,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Man. You know, I mean, oof. All right, bro, I'm gonna go with you on the Bulls. I mean, they should win, but the Bulls are very unpredictable too. They don't defend, so that always scares you. But and then the
I'm going
Washington, like I
Wizards.
said, is a
I'm
bad
going
team.
Wizards.
You
I'm
going
going
Wizards, going
Wizards. I'm
opposite.
going.
Yeah, I would. That's a tough one.
Well,
That
I'll tell you what, the
it might.
Bulls right now are 2-6 at home, but 5-5 on the road. So being on the road
Yeah, they've
favors
been on
them
the
for some
road.
reason. So
Yeah.
I'm picking the Bulls. But then an interesting one, the Bucks and the Heat in Miami. The Bucks currently 2-0 in the NBA Cup. I think there would be no better way for them to turn their season around than having success in the NBA Cup. So I'm picking Milwaukee here.
I'm going Milwaukee, and I know the Heat are at home. Heat
And
just
you
had a
know it's
big
big
win,
if Scott doesn't pick Miami for a
but
matchup.
exactly I know. And Heat had a big win last night,
Yeah,
overtime over
I'm going
Dallas.
Heat. I'm going Heat. I'm going
Okay.
Heat.
Okay.
BJ
Okay.
going,
Any reason why,
yeah.
BJ?
Well, you know what? I just think the Heat. You know, look, I love the both of these teams are right around 500, right? Some of them they're right
Yes.
around 500. Both teams right around 500. Okay, the as you guys know, I'm a huge Giannis fan, right? I don't pick against Giannis. However, I love the Heat right now and what they're doing, and they are the team that is constantly remind me that they're going to show up and they're going to play and they're going to play hard. And this guy Jimmy Butler, I haven't heard much from him this year as far as media and all these things, which lets me know he got the memo from Pat Riley.
It's a contract year. That's the memo he got. Is make okay, the money.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, these guys show up. Bam has got off to a little slow start.
He has. This year. Yes,
he's,
he has.
For, and no one has really talked about it. He's got off to a little slow start, which, you know, because, you know, he's one of, you know, he's another player that I really enjoy watching. I'm going to assume he probably had an injury that he just didn't discuss. And he's playing.
He was in that Olympics. You know, he played all summer in the Olympics.
I mean, Olympics, you know, and I didn't know if that was. Mm-hmm. But I'm expecting him to start. You know, he looked like he's getting back to himself in the last game or two or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pick the Heat at home. They always find a way every year. I keep saying this is it, and they just keep showing up. So I'm gonna they just keep. Showing
I'm not
up.
Counting them out. I'm not counting.
Yeah,
them out,
but I think this is a big game. They will find a way, and I'm going to pick them at home.
The next matchup is the Timberwolves hosting the Houston Rockets. Timberwolves currently 8-8. They had a little kind of meltdown with Randle not passing to Gobert and a few things that go on. They then lost against the Celtics in a close one, in which credit to them, because the way the Celtics started that game on Sunday night with Jaylen Brown hitting 5 threes to begin the game, you didn't expect it to become a close one, but they got back into it. But they ultimately lost. But I'm going to pick the Timberwolves to beat the Rockets. How about you guys?
Yes. Yeah, I've got the Timberwolves. Timberwolves got to get this thing together. They've been up and down. They're just playing 500 basketball. I believe that they're much better than that. And the urgency to win that game at home, cup game or not, they need to win. So I'm going Timberwolves.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. You know, there are critical games during the course of a season. You know, I don't call it a must game, but it's a game that they're going to have to figure out how to, you know, what this team is all about and when it's necessary to win if they're going to be a good team. So the Timberwolves, I'm picking. However, I do like these Rockets. I like this Rockets team. Mm-hmm. I like their depth.
Yep.
I like their athleticism. I would not be surprised if the Rockets win this game. I would not be surprised.
And they have Alfred Sengun. That's what it said. Shout out to Mo. Exactly.
The main reason I picked the Timberwolves are 9-1 in their last 10 games against the Houston Rockets. So I'm going on a historical data here to make this prediction. Also, Rudy Gobert, he played fantastic basketball against the Celtics. I think he single-handedly out-rebounded the entire Celtics team. So he's playing with, you know, with him not getting that post up he wanted and whatnot. Maybe he's channeling his energy into other dimensions of the game just to show what he's capable of doing. But following that, we have the Spurs at the Jazz. And I'm going to pick the San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, I already know who BJ's picking. I think we got all three. We're going San Antonio Spurs. Yeah, Wemby's playing. Yeah, Utah had a big win against the Knicks over the weekend.
Yeah, they did.
But it was like a weird earlier kind of tip-off game. I just don't think the Knicks were ready to play basketball.
But I believe San Antonio will be ready, will be prepared. And they've played with more consistency, obviously, than Utah has to this point. So give me San Antonio.
Absolutely. And then the final game of the night is the reigning NBA Cup champions, the Lakers, heading to Phoenix to face the Phoenix Suns. I'm picking the Lakers for this one. BJ, how about yourself?
It's hard to go against the Lakers, especially when Kevin Durant's not playing. That's a hard choice.
So you're picking the Lakers?
I have to go Lakers. I have to. But if Kevin Durant was playing, I would pick Suns.
Yeah. The Suns have not been good since Durant went out.
They've lost 5 straight.
Yes. And that's what you can't have if you plan on being a good team. Even when you lose your best player, you got to figure out how to win, stay 500. They've lost them all. I'm going Lakers with this one.
Okay. Well, we will see. Another night of NBA Cup. Do you want to real quick predict tonight's games?
Yeah, sure. Go through it.
The Clippers at the Celtics.
Better pick the Clips. Don't pick against the Clips right now.
They've won 5 straight. The Celtics have won 5 straight.
Okay. Well, you can pick the Clips on this. I'm going Boston. Exactly. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm going Boston with that.
Celtics coming on a second night of the back to back, but
that's okay.
I'm picking the Celtics.
I'm picking the Celtics.
Oh, you changed your mind, BJ?
No, I didn't change my mind. I'm just saying.
You said you better pick the Clips, and then you heard me and Scott pick, and now you're saying the Celtics.
Well, hey, I'm being consistent. I don't know how the Clippers are winning. I don't know how they're doing this. Yeah. They played three games in four nights the other day, and the third game, and that night was against the Warriors, and they won. I don't know how they're winning.
There are five players currently averaging 20 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Do you know who those five players are?
I have no idea, but I know they were winning with Norm Powell. They're winning without Norm Powell. I don't know how they're doing it.
So. Those five players, Jokic, Luka, LeBron, Cade Cunningham, and James Harden. Credit to James Harden. You don't hear a lot of noise about him. You heard a lot of noise last season when there was drama, but he's been quietly going about doing his thing.
I believe James Harden prefers to be the lone guy deep down inside because he was that so long in Houston. I think it fits his game better. Even though he's older now, he's not the same Houston James Harden. But I think he's very comfortable there. And give Ty Lue some credit, man. Ty Lue is an excellent coach in this league.
Yeah, I got to give him credit. I saw him play last week. They looked terrific, you know. And
only terrific.
Yeah, only. That's right. You're right about that.
Well, the Pelicans' four-game losing streak may continue as they face the Pacers tonight, and I'm picking the Pacers to win that one.
The Pacers have been disappointing to this point, really, how they started.
Are they 500 yet, Mo? They're not.
No, they're 7-10.
But
the Pelicans are 4-13 with no one healthy. And I think, who did they sign last week? They signed Elfrid Payton just to have a healthy body on the roster.
Yeah. Elfrid Payton just started the last couple of games for the Pelicans. Yeah. I'm going to go Pacers because, again, they've got to make a stand here quick in terms of wanting to turn their season around. And they've got to start, you know, by doing that, by winning home games against teams with inferior records. So give me Indiana.
BJ?
Indiana.
Okay, well, the next one, the Raptors travel to your city of Detroit to face the Pistons. Here's the interesting part. The Raptors are currently 0-9 on the road this season. The question is, can they pick up their first win on the road against the Pistons team, who start off kind of nice, but they've lost their last three and they're down to 11th, kind of back to where we kind of expected them to be in the Eastern Conference. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. I'm going to pick, well, we should have gone to our regular segment of the injury report. But I'm going to pick...
Is Cunningham back?
Cunningham is a game-time decision. Grady Dick is a game-time decision. And I think those are the kind of two most impactful players right now on each respective team. So I kind of have no idea who to pick. So I'm going to pick the Pistons purely because the Raptors haven't won on the road yet. But depending on who plays, I wouldn't be shocked if the Raptors win their first road game. How about you guys?
Yeah, I won't either, but I'm going to go Pistons. I'm going to go Pistons on this one.
Well, we know
Scotty Barnes. Is Scotty Barnes playing?
Scotty Barnes is back. Yeah, he's back. And Barrett's
playing. RJ Barrett's back.
He's been playing good. RJ's averaging 24.
Quickly's
out. He's out. If Quickly was playing, I would think a little different.
I'm gonna go Pistons then. He's been out. So
That's hurt them.
The Magic at the Hornets. The Magic third in the Eastern Conference. They're 8-2 over their last 10 without Paolo Banchero. The Hornets, they're down to 12th now, 6-10. They've had some very exciting games. Haven't been able to win them. Yeah. I'm going to pick Orlando on the road here.
Yeah, give me Orlando.
Magic.
Okay. The Mavs and the Hawks. One of my favorite matchups because of their Trae Young and Luka Doncic trade on draft night. It's always interesting when these two teams match up. What's not interesting is that Luka Doncic will be out for this fixture. So that kind of puts a dampener on the festivities. It's a tough one. I'm going to pick the Mavs here. I'm going to pick the Mavs. How about you guys?
I'm going to go Mavericks as well, even though they're coming off a tough overtime loss here in Miami. They understand the urgency to keep pace in this Western Conference. This is a team that they should beat, even without Luka. They have enough, too. So give me Give me Dallas.
I'm going with the city of Atlanta. Atlanta wins. I mean, the Atlanta Hawks. Sorry. The Atlanta Hawks will win this game.
Yeah. Okay. I see the logic. I see the logic because Dyson Daniels guarding Kyrie is going to be one of the toughest tests Kyrie gets all
Mo
season.
Didn't catch it. The city of Atlanta wins. Mo didn't catch that.
Hey, BJ, BJ, like you, I'm trying to stay on the court. Don't get me distracted.
Hey, Mo. The city of Atlanta.
If we talk about the city of Atlanta, that's a whole different podcast. Yeah. That's a whole different show.
Mo didn't catch that. I threw that.
Exactly.
For Mo didn't catch that.
I'm trying to stay focused. The Trailblazers and the Grizzlies in Memphis. I'm picking the Grizzlies.
I'm going Trailblazers there, Scotty.
No, Klingon is out.
Klingon is out.
DeAndre Ayton is a game time decision. Zach Edey is also out. John Morant is a game time decision. Scoot Henderson is a game time decision. Chris Murray.
Klingon is out, huh?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the home team, Memphis.
Yeah.
I hate picking against Chauncey, but.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going Chauncey. I'm staying with it. Staying with Chauncey.
Okay, okay. The Knicks and the Nuggets in Denver. That's going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to that one.
Game.
I'm going to pick the home team.
Yes.
I'm picking the Denver Nuggets. Scott, are you the same?
Yeah, give me the home team. That's going to be tough. That's a tough win. No answer for Jokic.
BJ?
Nuggets. The Nuggets.
Mm-hmm. The Thunder and the Kings, I'm easily going to pick the Thunder right there.
Yeah, Kings had a tough loss last night at home to the Brooklyn Nets.
I'm going Kings, Scotty. I'm going to go Kings.
You
going
to go Kings? You think they bounce back? Malik Monk. Malik Monk still out for the Kings.
No Caruso, though, for the Thunder.
Yeah, that's okay. Shea Gilgeous Alexander playing.
Yep. It's just Caruso, Jeng, Holmgren, Isaiah Joe.
Hardstein is back. Hardstein is back now, too.
Yep.
Give me OKC.
Yep. Brooklyn Nets face the Golden State Warriors in the Bay. I'm picking the Warriors.
Yes. Brooklyn got a big win against Sacramento, upset win there, but I don't think they make it two in a row. Give me Golden State as well.
BJ?
GSW.
Mm-hmm. CMP at the top of the Western Conference, 12-4 right now.
How about that?
The Thunder are 12-4 as well. So, you know, they're locked in taking these regular season games a little bit serious so they can get that home court. BJ, I know you saw this over the weekend. Every year Kendrick Lamar drops an album, the Golden State Warriors win a championship. Do you think it will continue this year?
You know what? I'm not going to go down that path because I am currently dissecting the lyrics of that album because you know I'm a lyricist, okay? Okay? And when you start talking about projects, Mo, I respect the fact that what was put out, you know, I don't know. Is it really an album? Is it more a mixtape? Hey, you know, it's debatable. But what I do know, and that he had some bars in there. The man is clearly he's at another level right now as far as you know what he's doing, as far as the music, the content, and what he's doing for hip hop. Not just him, for hip hop. Not rapping, not of the other genres. For hip hop, see, but you get me started. You know how to get me started.
See, so, I haven't listened to it yet, B.
I've been
dissecting the lyrics of our good friend of the show, Mr. Marlon Craft, who dropped an LP.
Over the weekend
as well.
Yeah, and it takes time.
I gotta put the homies first. I don't know Kendrick. You gotta wait in line, my brother.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Marlon he's a lyricist too. So you know, I'm currently, however, from what I've heard, you know, I had a little drive time this weekend. This guy Kendrick is, I'm gonna say this, he's nothing to play with. I can tell you that. He's nothing to play with. he's sitting at the table, Mo, where all the great MCs, He's sitting at the table now, Mo. Not now, but he's there.
You know, so shout out to Kendrick. Shout out to the MCs who are carrying on the tradition.
That did not answer my question.
But because
whatsoever.
No, I can't. Mo, you're asking me. I gotta let it sit. I gotta let it. Mo, I'm
the
a
question
lyricist.
Wasn't about the album. It was about the Warriors.
Are the Warriors gonna win?
Well, Mo, it's too early. It's November and we're already talking about we're gonna win a championship. Mo, I need more time. You even know, Mo, I have a rule. I don't really give comments after 25 games. Mm-hmm. You know that, Mo. So you were asking set up questions. The audience is saying, come on, they know BJ already stated what he liked, but Mo keeps on doing this. And then, you know, you're very clever, Mo. You're very clever. We know you, Mo. That's why we love you. Mo is Mo. Mo entertains us. Mo knows. He knows the rules of the game. You got to give him 25 games. Do I like what I'm seeing in the first 16 games or so? What, 12 and 4, you said?
Yeah, 12 and 4.
They look great. They're sitting atop. Raise your hand if you're not a Warriors fan and you had them on the top. Raise your hand. I don't see many people in that line. Do I like what I'm seeing? Yes. Are they defending at I don't know. They got to be in the top. I'm going to say top 5, top 10 in defense.
Yeah.
Right now, they're playing well. They look like they have an opportunity, but I'm certainly don't have the correlation between when Kendrick drops and the Warriors play, they win a championship. That wasn't on my radar. Okay.
It is now. These are the kind of stats I'm bringing. I don't know what you guys in the front office are bringing. I'm bringing real statistics. Yeah.
So when Kendrick drops an album, the Warriors, that wasn't. But, and plus, you know, Kendrick, you know, he's, hey man, I love, I'm a Kendrick person, you know, he's, but I just like music, as Scott knows. Scott and I have been doing this for 50 plus years. So this is nothing new. I just like great music, wherever it comes from. I really do. But we grew up in Motown, Mo. So forgive us. We grew up in Motown.
Came by Nas. That's a whole thing. Mo, I don't want to test your Motown knowledge.
First of all, I know plenty about Motown. Second of all,
forgive us, Mo. We've given the world a lot of music. So, you know, Mo, this is nothing new. You know what I mean? Hey.
Second of all, the new age of Motown is just whatever city I pull up in.
Oh, okay.
That's Motown. And with that, that's another episode of the Good Genes Podcast. Make sure you subscribe.
YouTube, with that, you can get with Mo. With that, you can get buckets.
Exactly. You know it. There won't be a show tomorrow, guys. I've got meetings all day. I've got to go and meet different. BJ, I got to try and make some money, man. I'm in meetings. And then if we do an episode, it'll be like 11 p.m. by the time I'm home and the games will have already started. And then we'll be doing another episode the day after. So I apologize that there won't be an episode tomorrow. However, we will be back on Wednesday with more from your favorite basketball podcast. And Scott, it's your birthday today. So once again, happy birthday from myself, from BJ, and from the listeners. And I want you to do the outro.
Until next time, get buckets.
There we go.